I was a young person, and maybe you remember this as well, and I'm sure, right? In fact, I'm pretty sure today that things are even worse with kids, the way they treat each other, and kids in school, and, you know, they can be pretty hard on each other, the things they say about each other. And matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, we went over to my one daughter's school. They're having a time when you could go in and sit in the classrooms, and we went in there, we went to her classroom, and she wasn't there. She was gone. And then, so we sat through this science class, and then for about 10, 15 minutes, and they were beginning the lab, and the teacher came over and said, well, some of the girls that had were saying nasty things about some of the other girls, and they started a big crying fit, and they were all at the guidance counselor, so we had to go find her. And, you know, that's just the way things are. And it was that way when I was in school. And if you remember the old saying my dad used to teach us, you know, that he would say, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And nothing could be farther from the truth than that. Words do hurt. And so, you know, words are a powerful thing. You know, they talk about guns and how guns don't kill people, but people kill people. You know, and you could lay a gun on a table here or on this podium, and that gun would not do anything. It would be of no harm to anyone. And words are a lot like that. Words just put out or unconnected don't really do much. But, you know, when you start connecting words, they can be used in a powerful way. They can be used positively, and they can also be used in a negative way. You know, when they're put together in spoken or written form, they can be used for great harm or for great good. Well, today I'd like to speak about the power of words, and I've entitled the sermon, Putting an End to Words That Hurt. And let's turn over to James chapter 3. We'll start there. The Bible has a lot to say about what we say, or about our tongue, or about words, and has a lot to say about that. And after we read this scripture in James, will be going over to the book of Proverbs and staying there for most of the sermon, or except for the last verse. So, but in James chapter 3, James has some things to say about the tongue. And let's pick it up in verse 3. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, setting the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. You know, James doesn't have a lot good to say about our tongues, does he? He's pretty bold here what he's saying. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, you think of all the wild animals you could bring in, and you could tame them, and you could domesticate them, and you know, have control over them. But James is saying the tongue, you know, we just can't, we can't tame that. And it's, you know, it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. It can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You know, James has a lot to say here about tongues and about words and how we use them. And, you know, we look at scriptures like that and we can say about ourselves, well, you know, we're pretty careful about that. And most of us probably don't use profanity or any kind of vulgar language. But I would venture to say that most of us, and myself included, would probably say that we have said things that we regretted and that we wished we could take back. We may speak harshly to one of our parents or to our children, maybe to our spouse, or to a coworker, or to a friend. There's times when we get angry and we say things we shouldn't say. And we might say something even that can scar them or to hurt them in a way that the relationship would be damaged forever. And today I'd like to take a look at that. And Let's look at some of the words and the way that we use them, and they can hurt people, and then look at some ways that we can put an end to that. And so let's begin with some of the ways that words can hurt people. And the first type, and we can turn over to Proverbs chapter 12, is the careless word or the thoughtless word or the word that's, you know, today they people refer to it as talking smack. You know, you're kind of belittling somebody. You're, you know, you use a barb is another way of saying it. But, you know, there are awful things that you can say about people. And Proverbs 12 speaks to that. Proverbs 12, verse 18. It says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, reckless words or nasty words or words that are intended to cut people, you know, they're like a sword, and they cut into people, and it does harm. And we need to be very careful about that as Christians. When we don't think before we speak, or, you know, that can turn into a disaster. And people, you know, remember the things that you say. And we want to make sure that the things that we're saying are good things, and you know, not these cutting remarks, not these barbs, not these things that are intended to hurt. In Proverbs 15:23, it says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. And then in Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word aptly spoken is like apples in gold and settings of silver. You know, words that are intended to lift up and encourage and strengthen. Now, those are the things that we love to get, but those things that are awful, and I think we've probably all been on the side of those when we get those or hear about people from others what people have said about us, they hurt. And we want to make sure the Bible talks against that, and we need to be careful of that. Well, second type of word that can cause problems and can cause a word that hurts is the complaining words. In Philippians 2, it says, do everything without complaining. Now, how hard is that for us to do? It's hard not to complain about some things. But, you know, some people make that an art form. They just complain about everything. And, you know, recently in my plumbing business, I had the opportunity to hire some people. And I hired this guy. He's a good plumber. But, man, does he complain? He thinks about every negative thing. He's like, well, this could go wrong, and this could go wrong, and this could go wrong, and I don't think you're going to get this. And it's like, I just want to get away. You know, the guy's a good worker, but wow, does he complain and grumble. And, you know, they never have anything good to say about anything. If you do something good, they're not going to tell you you did something good. And then if you do one thing wrong, they're going to say, you know, you'll probably never hear the end of it. And, you know, people just complain. And we see that in the history of Israel, if you think back to Numbers chapter 16, I was reading over some of that last night, but, you know, there was the story of Korah and his rebellion, and the guys, him and a couple other fellows, thought that they should be equal with Moses and be the leaders of the Israelites there, and Moses said, well, you know, I don't think so, we'll see tomorrow. So they got together and they said, okay, let's gather here, and had all those guys with their censers, and he told everybody to move away, and Moses said, well, if, you know, you guys are supposed to be a part of what I'm doing, or if you're supposed to take my place, then okay. But otherwise, the ground's going to open up, and you're going to be swallowed up. And, of course, the ground opened up, and they all fell in, and they were destroyed. And you think that would have been good enough. But the rest of the people come to Moses, and they start complaining. And they say, you know, this is pretty typical for them. They complain. They said, you know, you're destroying our own people. And there was only 250 people died in that rebellion. And they started complaining. And God said, okay, we'll take care of that. So he sent a plague among them. And this plague starts spreading. And Moses calls Aaron and he says, run out there quick and take a censer and run in front of this plague and get it to stop. And finally he did. He went through there and right at the line where it was going, apparently. And 14,700 people died, you know, just because of complaining. And we want to be careful that we're not those kind of people that complain about everything and are those that are whiners or grumblers. Well, third word that can hurt and cause problems is gossip or slander. And let's turn over to Proverbs 26. There's There's a few verses in Proverbs that talk about gossip, but in Proverbs 26, verse 22, says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels that go down to a man's inmost parts." You know, that idea of a choice morsel is something, I think in the Hebrew it means it's something that's greedily devoured. You know, you just can't get enough of it. It's so good. And, you know, we tend to be like that. You know, gossip just seems to perk up our ears for some reason. And those juicy tidbits. And, you know, it's like eating a delicacy. And, you know, it's good all the way down. It tastes good in the mouth. And it tastes good and makes your stomach satisfied. And, you know, we just love those things. And they're not soon forgotten. You know, it's like a great meal you had one time, and you just think back to that meal and how delicious it was. And you know, that's the way gossip is. That's the way the writer of Proverbs here is describing gossip. Well, that's something we need to be careful of. You know, it's not. You know, other places in the Proverbs it'll talk against doing that and having gossip and passing on information about people. There's a story of three pastors who gathered to form a support group. They wanted to be able to share things and to be able to pray for each other. And after several weeks of this support group, they got a little more comfortable with each other, and they were building trust, and they began to share some of their problems and secrets. And one minister confessed that he had a problem with gambling, and you know, oftentimes he was even tempted with the offerings from the church. And then the second one was his turn, and they went around the room, and he admitted to that he had some problems with alcohol, and that at times he drank a little bit too much, and he was really fearful that his congregation was going to find out. Well, then the third guy got up and says, "I'm a gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." And is that what's true about gossips? You know, they just love to pass on information. You know, and woe to us if we ever share something intimate with somebody that cannot keep things quiet. And, you know, those that have the time to counsel people or take the time to counsel people, you'll know how serious that is, that you need to have that, they need to have that understanding that there's trust and there's confidence in you that you will not share. It's very serious in God's eyes. And in Psalm 15, you know, it talks about those that are going to or have the ability to ascend in God's temple or to be there at the holy hill. And it says, the one that slanders or the one who slurs, the one who gossips cannot dwell there. So that's another proverb that we have. And one of the kind of words that can hurt. And we want to be careful that we're not involved with that. A fourth one is dishonest words or lying. In Proverbs 6, it talks about the seven things that God hates. Do you know two of those or can talk about lying? That's very concerning to God. And let's turn over to Proverbs 12. We'll read a verse there, Proverbs 12, verse 22. We might just hit every chapter in Proverbs today, but Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. It says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful." You know, God hates lying, but he loves the truth. And he loves it when we tell the truth. And, you know, we can cause a lot of harm when we tell lies. And there's people that are in prison. There are people that have been executed. There are people that have lost their jobs. There are people who have lost their reputations, lost their financial basis because somebody lied about them. And we need to be real careful about that, that we're not in any way bearing false witness against someone. If you remember the story in 1 Kings 13 about the prophet who came to Jeroboam to warn him against his idolatry and told him that, you know, in the future there would be a king named Josiah, which would be about 200 years in the future, told him that he would be tearing down all these things that Jeroboam was building. And he was told and commanded by God that not to eat or to drink or to vary from his path, but he was just to go there, tell Jeroboam, then go back home. Well, there was another prophet that heard, an older prophet who was living there in that area, and he decided that he wanted to speak with this prophet. So he went out and he lied to this prophet. He said, "Look, you know," he said, "well, why don't you come back with me?" And the guy said, I can't do that. And he said, well, an angel of the Lord told me to tell you to come. And so the guy listened to him and came back and shared a meal with him. And then the second prophet did get a prophecy in saying that this man would essentially die. And, you know, here, because of another person, a man of God, a prophet of God, lied, another prophet was slain and put to death. And that can happen when we tell lies, when we're not telling the truth. And Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19, it says, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. And, you know, we need to be careful of that too. Sometimes we can deceive people and then say, oh, I was just kidding when we get caught. And we need to be careful with that. You know, harm is done when you do those kind of things. And we all like to jest a little bit and do those kind of things. But be careful with that, with the dishonesty and with lying in a bigger sense. Another point is the tone even of our voice when we speak. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And, you know, I've used this illustration where it's like, you know, if you have a dog in the house and you go up to that dog and you say, oh, you're a stupid dog, but I wish I could get rid of you, dog. And, you know, the dog will wag his tail because he hears the tone of your voice and he thinks you're happy with him because of the tone. But then if you say, I love you, dog, or, you know, and then he runs away because he's with his tail between his legs because he hears the tone of your voice. And, you know, how we speak to people sometimes comes across that way. You know, speak with a tone of voice that is proper for what you're trying to get across. And use that kind of tone for people. And it'll speak volumes for you. How about the next one? Constantly talking. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. You know, someone once said, talk is like a wheel. The longer the spoke, the greater the tire. And, you know, we've probably all been around people that go on and on and on and on. And, you know, we lose people when we do that. And they just don't want to be around you. And they, you know, they can bore you. And, you know, it's like the boy who was asked by a pastor whose father, this young boy's father had just died. He said to the boy, he said, what was your dad's last words? And the little boy says, he didn't have any. He says, my mom was with him to the end. And so, you know, you've been around people like that. They just, you can't get a word in edgewise. And I often wonder if you get two of those people, you know, that talk all the time and you get them together, who would win? It's almost like a contest. And, you know, sometimes we can catch ourselves doing that. We can go on and on and on and on. And, you know, good illustration is to remember, you know, the inauguration's coming up soon here in January, but the longest inauguration speech was done by William Harrison. And did you know that it was a cold day like today, and he was out for probably 2 hours. His speech went on and on, and he caught pneumonia and died, and he was only president for 30 days. So, you know, bad things can happen when you continue to talk and talk and talk, and sin can certainly be a part of that, you know. Like James says, you know, the tongue is a thing that's hard to control. And if we're always talking, then, you know, we can have that problem of sin coming out of our mouths. A couple more yet. Boasting words. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Verses 1 and 2. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. And let another praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else and not your own lips. And I know we've all been around people that boast and tell us how great they are. You know, it's all rooted in conceit and pride. And you know, we shouldn't be doing that. We should let others praise us. And we used to have a saying at work, you know, something about breaking your arm because you're always patting yourself on the back. You know, how's your arm? Because you're always telling us how great you are. But, you know, we need to be careful of that. And boasting words can come back to bite us. You know, the person that helped build the Titanic said that only God himself couldn't sink this ship. And, you know, it wasn't very long after that when the maiden voyage that the Titanic sunk. And then you may have heard of Voltaire. He was a philosopher in France, and at least in Europe, I think. And he had made this comment. He was against Christianity, didn't want anything to do with it, wrote against it. And he wrote that in 100 years after his death, that Christianity would be non-existent. And then 50 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society bought his house and was printing Bibles on his printing press. So, you know, when we say things sometimes and boast, you know, God can come back and that can haunt us. You know, think of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he's talking about all these things he built in Babylon. And God warned him against it. And, you know, if you remember the story, he spent 7 years as basically an animal. He lost his mind. He became an animal and lived like an animal for 7 years because of a boast that he made. Or think about Herod when he made his boast in the book of Acts. And, you know, it says he got some worms in his stomach and it was some kind of disease, but he died fairly quickly after that. And, you know, what an awful way to go because they were boasting. So we need to be careful of boasting. How about quarreling? Proverbs 26, verse 21. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. And, you know, have you been around people like that, that just, you know, they like to start fires. They like to kindle fires. You know, if they see a little animosity somewhere, a little bit of differences between people, they'll play on that and they'll try to build that up and they'll try to cause problems. And, you know, they do things just to cause a quarrel. And then oftentimes they'll start it and then they'll leave. You know people like that. Or maybe you know the person that says, you know, I would say this microphone here is black. And they would say, no, that's blue. I'll say, no, that's black. And I'll say, no, it's blue. But then, you know, if I would say, okay, it's blue, then they would say it's black. And they'll just for argument's sake, they like to argue. And they're always right. And, you know, whatever you suggest or whatever you say is not right. And whatever their way is right. How about flattering words? Proverbs 26, 28. It's a saying, what flattery will get you everywhere. But, you know, the scriptures actually speak against it. It says, a lying tongue hates those, in verse 28, hates those that hurt. Or a lying tongue hates those that hurt, and a flattering mouth works ruin. You know, literally, flattering means to make something smooth, you know. And it's rendered earlier in the book of Proverbs as, you know, where it has that depiction of a seductress or an adulteress calling to the young man on the street, come in, and you know, we'll have some fun here. And it's like this idea that she's really seductive, and she's smoothing the way. She's got smooth words, and she's wanting this young man to commit adultery. And you know, there's people that do that. There's people that use flattery to get their own way. Someone once said, chances are 10 to 1 that when a man slaps you on the back, he wants you to cough up something. And, you know, that's true. When we can understand that when people flatter us and they're wanting something. And we need to be careful we're not doing that, too. I came across some of these more modern-day proverbs. I thought I'd share a few of these with you. But these are some choice thoughts about the tongue, just to kind of wrap up this part. But it says, some thoughts about the tongue, about abrasive speech. It says, many a blunt word has a sharp edge. And keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you may have to eat them. And about gossip, it says, gossip is like soap, mostly lye, you know, L-Y-E, that kind of soap, which is poisonous. A gossip is just a fool with a keen sense of rumor. And about profanity, profanity is a public announcement of stupidity. And it also is swearing. Swearing is a lax man's way of trying to be emphatic. And about boasting, when you sing your own praise, you always get this tune too high. And don't brag, it isn't the whistle that pulls the train. And so I thought some of those were pretty humorous. And you know, we got all kinds of modern proverbs that talk about the tongue as well. And I'll have a few more here, but you know, we need to be real careful. The scriptures speak over and over different kinds of things that we say and the things that we can talk about. And we need to be careful about that. There's consequences of a loose tongue. You know, we can damage relationships. And certainly we damage our relationship with God. It dishonors Him when we use our mouth or our words in a way that does not bring Him glory. You know, we're talking to somebody else. And like James said there, you know, how can you you bless God or glorify God or praise God, and then go right next door and start cursing your neighbor, the one who's made in God's image. And what kind of witness is that to the guy that you are talking to if you're cursing him and you're praising God? You know, that's not right, and that damages that relationship we have with God, because it's sinful and its sin separates us from God, and it damages our other relationships too. Gossip can separate people. In Proverbs 16:28 says, "A gossip separates close friends," and you know, those kind of things can damage our relationships with others. Most people are going to forgive you if you have bad grammar, which I've been accused of at times. They can forgive you if you tell unfunny jokes or do puns or something like that. People forgive you for that, or if you misspoke and quickly apologize. But if you're a person that regularly goes out and is intending to harm people or to cut people or to scar people or to offend people, you're going to start seeing your circle of friends shrink. You know, have you ever been around the person that says, they always say, "I always say what's on my mind. I like to tell it like it is." And, you know, that's probably one of the worst things we can do, is to be that kind of person. "Well, you'll always know what's on my mind." And, well, if we all did that, we'd probably all be at each other's throat, because, you know, sometimes the things that we think aren't the things that we ought to be saying to people. And, you know, some things are better to not be said. You know, and you often wonder about the person that's always talking about other people. And, you know, I've always come to this conclusion: if this person's always talking about other people, what's he saying about me when I walk around the corner, when I'm not with him? And I think, you know, I don't know if I really want to be around that person. And so, think about those things. And you can bring harm to the relationships and harm to yourself. Well, what can we do? Suggestions for overcoming words that hurt. Number one, I think, would be to speak less. Just make up your mind you're going to not talk as much as you do at times. And that doesn't necessarily make you a social outcast just because you're not talking. Sometimes it has positive benefits. Remember William Harrison in his inaugural address. He went on, and he ended up dying about 30 days later. Abraham Lincoln said, "It's better to be silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." And I think that's good advice. That's a new modern-day proverb. There's another little poem that I came across. It says, "A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird?" And, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth. And maybe that should tell us something, that, you know, maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak. And, you know, obviously, if we're not speaking, as the Scripture said, you know, when there's a lot of words, there's sin abounds. So we want to be careful about that and intentionally try to speak less. Think about what you're going to say. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, Proverbs 15:28 says. Think before we speak. Consider what your words are going to do. And, you know, there's an acrostic that uses the word think, T-H-I-N-K. And T would say, stand for truth, make sure that we tell the truth. H is for help. Do the words that we speak help others? Do they teach them? I is for inspire. Do they encourage or do they build up? N is, are the words necessary? You know, oftentimes we have things to say, but are they necessary? Sometimes they are necessary. Sometimes we need to challenge people. Sometimes we need to in a loving way, bring something up to somebody. You know, is that necessary? Yes. But if it's not necessary, then maybe they're better unsaid. K, for being kind. Are the words kind and are they caring? So those are things, some strategies we can use. Another one, avoid critical people. People that are critical, people that are gossiping, people that are negative, people that are lying. You know, Paul said bad company corrupts good character. And, you know, if we're around that, you know, it's easy to get caught up in that. I've had that problem myself at times. You know, be around somebody and they'll start talking about somebody, and then all of a sudden you find yourself, you're involved in that, and it's like after a while or after you're done with the conversation, you think, you know, there's a lot of things there I probably shouldn't have said, and I probably shouldn't even have gotten involved in that. And so we need to avoid You know, maybe change the subject with those kind of people or whatever we need to do. Ask the question, what would Jesus say? Can you ever see Jesus gossiping or insulting people, hurting people? I mean, Jesus was pretty upfront with the Pharisees and got in their face about some things and, you know, told them off in a sense, but, you know, it was necessary. But for the most part, Jesus' words were inviting, and they were words that healed, and they were words that encouraged and strengthened people. And, you know, think about that. You know, what would Jesus say in this situation? And another idea is to be accountable. You know, have somebody that maybe can come to you and say, remind you, hey, I heard you say that to somebody, and maybe you should have not said that, or should have said it this way, or, you know, that's an encouragement. And when somebody pulls you aside to do that. About a year ago, I had an opportunity to hear a man speak. He's more of a motivational speaker. He teaches people how to speak. He works with, I think he was the president of the Toastmasters, which I think teaches people some of those ideas. But he was given a little seminar one day, and I took one thing from that day. But he said, when you speak, he said, seek to bless, not to impress. And I thought, that's pretty good. You know, if we seek to bless people, and not to impress them by our big words or our flattery words or our, the things that we know and, you know, all those things. You know, if we're just trying to do that to impress people, then, you know, that's not what we should be doing. Our words should seek to bless people and to encourage and to strengthen them. And finally, we can ask for God's help. You know, a habit, they say, is like a rope or a cable where it has strands, and each day that you do something, it becomes another strand, and it becomes stronger and stronger. You know, bad habits are that way. You know, if you've done something for a year or 10 years, you know, that habit's often hard to break. And a good habit's the same way. If we develop a good habit of not doing these things, and we ask God's help for that, you know, to ask God to help us to develop that kind of habitual practice of speaking rightly and using our words rightly to others. You know, God will help us, and we'll have that good habit of speaking well. And if we have a bad habit of, you know, profanity or gossip or whatever, we can ask God to break that habit in us. He can do that. He has that kind of power. We ask Him for His strength. Well, words are powerful things. The Scriptures have a lot to say about words, as we read in James and a lot of the Proverbs. And I'd like to close with one Scripture. In Psalm 19, again, words can be used for good or evil. We certainly want to be on the side of those that speak good words. And that was the prayer here of David in Psalm 19. In the last verse, verse 14, it says, this is a prayer. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that's a good thing, you know, when we think about the words we speak and, you know, how we use them. You know, maybe that's a good prayer for us to pray on a daily basis. You know, may the words that I speak today, may the words that, you know, I deliver to others or even to you, Lord, or even the things I think about, you know, may they be things that are pleasing to you and that honor you, and that encourage and bless. And, you know, I think that's the proper use of the things that we use for words. And, you know, I think we can be encouraged by what the Scriptures say and how we can be better witnesses for our Lord and our God by the way that we use our tongues. Thank you.